So when you were living in Anniston at the time, you commuted back and forth. You drove.
I lived in Anniston most of the time, but in the summers after I started teaching, I would commute from Barfield to Jacksonville daily. Had to get up early too.
I bet you did. It's what?
Take my breakfast along with me.
How long did it take you to get from here to back to Jacksonville and back and forth?
Well,
and hours wise, about an hour.
Oh, over an hour, because I didn't drive that fast. And a lot of the summers, my husband, I'd go on as he went to work at Rudisell's Foundry, and he'd get off, and then I'd go on to Jackson. Park under that big shade tree there next to their graves. Maybe sleep a while and eat a bite of breakfast before class time starts.
Is that right?
You people wouldn't do that today, would you?
Would you make your biscuits in the morning?
Well, not then. But at the time I was doing that, I had a lady who kept house for me and tended to Carol, and my mother was here some too.
Yeah. She could help you out on making that breakfast then.
Well, no, but they were here to see that things were going well and have to look after Carol.
Yeah. So, what
did... But I do bake biscuit. I always bake biscuit, and I spend the life on so.
I love biscuits too. Wasn't any McDonald's what you're trying to say. I know that's what it is. That's why. Wasn't any biscuits to pick up McDonald's on the way.
Well, if there had been, you wouldn't have had the money, see.
That's right. The times was different then.
Well, it certainly was, because so many people of today's world would not go to college had they gone under the dire financial circumstances that we went. You see, my husband was just almost determined that I go. And we... went on his paycheck.
Because he saw himself getting ill with his back then.
Well, he was, he still had a back problem, but he was working from then on. He was able to return to work after the time he was hurt. Well, but he was working, and he was the one who paid my way through college, if you put it that way.
Yeah. What was Jack State's reputation? That was Jacksonville's teacher's college.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And his reputation as a teacher's college was excellent.
Yes, it was outstanding. I guess if you were going to make a teacher, that's the place you would think in terms of. I was fortunate that I had some very outstanding teachers, I thought. In fact, I almost came home the second day when I learned who my English teacher was, Dr. William J. Calvert. Because the students there who knew him could tell how hard he was and how many failed. And I thought, oh yes, and I've been out of high school all these years. What am I doing here? Why don't I go home and spend my husband's paycheck? But I wasn't ever a quitter. So I went back. And I stayed there until I graduated.
In 51. So it was fairly easy to you, considering the fact that you had a good reputation and that people liked you and they pushed you and wanted you to be a teacher, that you got a job. It was fairly easy for you to get a job. So was it fairly easy for most everybody that graduated in your class, you think, to get a job in education?
Well, I was the only one in my graduating class that, you know, there was one other girl who made a teacher. But I don't know what happened to her after graduation. I think she did something besides teach. But I was the only one other than that who made a teacher from my high school graduation class.
How about your college graduation class?
Well, you know...
Was it easy for the people that you graduated in that were going to study to be
I'm
teachers?
I'm not really sure. Because I didn't spend time on the campus like you do today.
Yeah.
I was there for study and library work. And aside from that, I was at home studying and doing what I had to do at home. So
it wasn't a lot of socializing then for you as far as the campus was concerned.
Not for me.
If you don't mind me asking, when you first started teaching, how much did you make?
Very little. We didn't realize it at the time, but actually, I didn't make enough per month to pay my husband's expenses down back on his job. But we were at home, and I was doing what I enjoyed doing. We were happy, so we got by. And that's, yes, it seems that first year I made $109 per month, and that wasn't for 12 months. It was about 7 or 8.
For the months that you teached?
Just for those
or
months
that, you taught,
that I taught, right. Uh-huh, because this being paid on a 12-month basis hasn't been carried out for a long, long time. You were paid only for those months you taught, and you got whatever you were supposed to get. I do recall teachers just ahead of me, though, teachers who taught with me, saying that at times they were unable to get their paychecks and had to take IOUs.
Script.
Later on.
Yeah, they got script payment.
Mm-hmm. Received that payment, and I can recall that during those first years we were prorated a lot, and for many years thereafter. And there were times when we'd think we wouldn't get that last month's pay.
You never had to receive a script, though, did you?
No, I didn't.
You always got your payment.
I always got whatever it was. Of course, after I got my degree, I made more than that, but I don't recall what it was.
So then after you got started teaching at Barfield School, y'all moved in this location that you're living here now?
Yes. Now, I'm about 1 mile from my home place, my dad's home place. We lived across from the church. It was one of the very nicest farms and buildings in the community. A big white building. It's still there, very lovely, and good farmland. And my dad was one of the best farmers anywhere around. I recall one year he didn't sell cotton because the price was so low. You see, I came through the Hoover days.
Yeah.
So he kept that for 2 years and had 100 bales to sell then. But with 2 and 3 cents a pound, you still didn't come out on top.
Yeah.
I can remember.
So what did he farm then?
Cotton was his main cotton.
Cotton. Even
he
though
he was very good at that.
Even though when he didn't make but 1 or 2 cents a bale, he never
per
changed
pound, per pound. Pound. Well, there's nothing else you could do. You just had to keep on trying
farming
to
cotton.
Grow more cotton. I can recall living through, let's see, what did they call it? The Roosevelt New Deal?
Yeah.
Have you studied that?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I remember once they had plowed up some cotton because they would be paid so much per acre for the cotton they turned under just before it opened, rather than let that open and continue flooding the market. Because the more cotton that was raised, the higher the prices, or the lower the prices were, you see.
Demand
the
supply.
The less they got. But,
yeah.
There's a wealthy lady that had financed him that year, so they held over a second year to sell and had around 100 bales. And the average number of bales per farm then was maybe 2 or 3. So you see, I know about farming.
Yeah.
I always liked to live in the country. I said that's where I wanted to live when I grew up, but I did not want to pick cotton anymore.
That may explain you're also going to college.
But on the other hand, no, I wanted to go to college. Since we've been living here, at one time, our grounds were practically a showplace for flowers and azaleas and you name them, whatever. I could get out and do that kind of digging
you
so long as you
home.
Didn't call it the cotton patch.
Yeah. Bring back those old memories.
There's just something about cotton I didn't want to be a part of anymore.
Yeah.
And I guess you can say this too, that once you have lived and know what it is to have to strive for a living, you appreciate the opportunities that come your way more than you would if you've always had it easy. Now, I wonder if I'm kind of hitting you and Jason on the head now. Has it been too easy for you? Maybe you think it's rough, but you don't really know the meaning of it.
Well, Jason and I had that discussion on the way down here. How far do you live from the school?
About a mile.
About a mile. Mm-hmm. So when you first started teaching, you drove to school?
Went back the first year. We didn't have but one vehicle. My husband used that to go to work. I rode the school bus for part of the year. Along with the students, that was nothing uncommon then.
Yeah.
But thereafter, I just drove myself that short distance.
Yeah, after the half a year?
After a short while, yeah. I don't recall how long.
Yeah. You just drove back. Well, what time did you have to be at school?
Always had to be there at 7:30.
7:30. And did you think teaching actually changed your not ability to raise a family? Do you think it increased your I know it increased your earning power, but as far as your role as a mother and a wife and a school teacher, what kind of effect did that have on you personally as far as realizing that probably before your time and before you decided to have a career, that women your age usually stayed at home, didn't they?
Well, most of them did, or got a jobs in local factories.
Women.
The main place then would be cotton mill. Women and men too. Because about all you could do then, men might saw logs, or they might go to a textile factory. And that was hard work. Long hours too. But I always liked school. And I always thought I'd enjoy teaching. So the parts just fell into place for me. But I think that any time you receive the right education, that enables you not only to make a better living, but to live better. That life can be more fulfilling, a greater understanding of whatever it is that you go about to do. And if it doesn't help us in that way, I think then it has failed us, or we failed education one, whatever you want to call it.
What grades you predominantly teach?
I always had 8th homeroom if the principal had a homeroom. If he did not, I had 9th, and I had junior high English.
7th through 9th?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All your classes?
Social studies.
And social studies?
I had, yes, some social studies to fill in. Of course, I had girls at physical ed too. Now, we learned it all. You didn't just... Well, you may have specialized in one subject in college, but you really got your training on the job. You learned to do whatever came your way. So I had girls physical ed up here today, too.
Did the girls ever play varsity sports, or
well,
did they have teams? Or
earlier, boys and girls both would play other schools in the county. You know, I told you earlier that I used to carry a carload, and the principal would take a carload. That's how we got there, unless more than the players got to go, and then we'd get a school bus to carry us.
What kind of sports?
Basketball, mainly.
Yeah.
In the latter years, though, Barfield did take up football.
For the boys.
To an extent. But then as they got on into the 9th grade, they would play with Lionel in the afternoons after school, because that's where they were going to go once they left Barfield.
Well, the majority of your students, what class? Upper class, middle class, lower class?
Well, now, Barfield itself has always been known as one of their best schools in the county. And I say that humbly. We did have students of all ranks, of course. By that I mean the easy to learn to the slow to learn, well-to-do to those who were not so well-to-do. But you know, when I started teaching, I promised my God there would be no big I's or any little U's. So the greater the need a child had, the greater the challenge was to me.
What did the children predominantly wear? What was the usual dress for?
Well, in the early years, just average dresses and pants. And before I retired, girls were wearing long pants.
Before you...
We didn't have any problems with clothing and the way the students dressed much. Occasionally, in the last few years, you might find a few who wanted to come in their short shorts, but once they knew they couldn't, then that was not an issue.
So in the early 50s, that wasn't a problem at all?
Oh, no.
Women wore long sleeves and long dresses?
As hot as it was, as hot as those rooms were, you were after a sleeveless blouse.
So what
not a long sleeve, because those buildings could get hot in the summer and cold in the winter.